With your help, we can continue to fight for freedom, reach new audiences, and bring important information to the public free of charge. This is not possible without your generosity. Join our quest for the truth and our freedom and donate today. Simply go to tntradio.live. Welcome to Lynn's Warriors, ground zero in the war to protect our children. And now, Lynn Shaw on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Well, do not adjust your set. This is Lionel sitting in for Lynn Shaw, who is on assignment. This is Lynn's Warriors, and I'm so glad to be with you today with our man at the helm, Alex Bolter, who I understand is chained to his console and under some form of mild sedative. I think it's a thought experiment, kind of an MK Ultra thing, but he does a heck of a job, and we certainly thank him for all he does and attempts to do. We have a tremendous show for you this afternoon. Let me start off first, afternoon, evening, whenever this is. Let me just say that in no way is anybody to take a credit or blame for anything that I say. This is completely my idea. And I in no wise represent the thoughts, opinions, beliefs, ideations, hopes, wishes, dreams, nightmares of either TNT Radio or Lynn Shaw or Lynn's Warriors or Alex or anybody else. What I say is me. And little spoiler alert, if that bothers you, now's the time to run. Now is the time to run. Perhaps either that or perhaps grab a mild sedative. And you too could be a board operator on the weekends as well. Now, coming up, we're going to be talking to Kelly Victory. Kelly Victory, we're going to be talking about the health and the degradation, the colossal collapse of mental health, especially on the part of children. And that's coming in up this afternoon. You know, when I started off years ago in my pursuits of talk radio, it was in the mid to late 80s. It was at the time when Rush Limbaugh was coming up. And I remember I used to work with Rush Limbaugh at WABC and so many other great people. And it was right at the ascendance, if you will, when talk radio was talk radio. When it was, I mean, conservative talk radio, actual conservative talk radio. And Rush Limbaugh was the paterfamilias, the zenith. He was it, the quintessence. He was without peer. And he, of course, spawned every conceivable form of phony wannabe there is. And we still hear them, many of them on Fox News. And they're living in the 80s. They're living in the 80s. They're talking about supply side economics, laissez-faire market. It's like, what are you talking about? Listen to me and listen carefully. I don't care about left. I don't care about right. I don't care about Democrats, bull moosers, anything. Freedom parties, green parties, progressives, whatever name you want to use is fine with me as long as you and I agree with the fundamental precepts of common sense. I have a very simple goal politically, just so that you know, because this will bleed through and you will hear it. Again, this is just me. I want the complete, total destruction, the annihilation of what this shadow government version of radical left, woke, anarchic, nihilistic, whatever these people are, Biden, whoever they are, I want them gone. I want them incinerated. I want them just expurgated, bowdlerized, emended, excised, and ablated from reality. That aside. So during the 80s, 85, 90, when Rush and all these, a lot of these were just phony, baloney conservative types, hyper-moralists. Oh, they were holier than thou. They made me sick. They would talk about, oh, the destruction of the family. And they didn't really mean it because many of these people actually had some of the most debauched family lives you can imagine. They were a bunch of hypocrites, kind of like the Harper Valley PTA kind of a hypocrisy. And everything bothered them. There was a group called the Concerned Women for America. Everything bothered them. Oh, my God, everything bothered them. And each of them, not them in particular, they in particular, but people would go out of their way to be offended. Okay, cut to the chase. What is happening right now? What is happening in the world, specifically to families and children? And when you say children, let me remind you of something. I know you know this, but I'm going to say it again. It's not children. It's the future. I'm going to break into Whitney Houston here, the children of the world, but this is, you know, life is an assembly line. And when you destroy children's lives and psyches and self-esteem and worldview, now you're laying the groundwork for a disastrous future. So when I talk about children, it's not this namby-pamby, you know, let's don't say bad words in front of kids. I'm talking about the psychic destruction of these kids today. Now, I was a prosecutor in my nascent days of practicing law, which I did, and I thought I saw some pretty nasty stuff. I've seen a lot of things. Murders, mayhem, the detritus of stuff that you cannot believe. Well, that was nothing compared to what I saw happening to children. And right now, if you look around, and it's not just kids per se. I also don't want to sound like one of these old fuddy-duddies who talks about these kids today with their rock music. But look around you. Look at the world we live in, irrespective of your political ideology. Look at kids. Do they look you in the eye? Do they know how to shake hands? Can they sign their name? Can they get a job? Can they converse? Do they have any empathy? Something is wrong. And the years we went through with COVID mania really put them over the top. By the way, little disclaimer, I'm not going to talk about COVID because I want to tell you, everybody now is an expert in COVID. Everybody's an expert. Everybody. Everybody knows about mRNA. Everybody. Out of nowhere. Everybody's a virologist and an immunologist. They're all experts. This happened years ago during the O.J. Simpson case when all of a sudden overnight people were blood splatter experts for reasons I will never know. Now, I'm not going to go through that. I'm not going to go through about whether this one got the jab and why is this one dead. I'm not a physician. I don't know anything about that. I do think there's a great room for suspicion, but I will tell you this much. Irrespective of the causation aspects of it, irrespective of the causative and the initial etiology of this particular psychic problem that we're in right now, COVID made people crazy and even crazier. And what it did to kids in particular was is beyond anything anybody could even imagine. Take kids and put them through years of not being able to address and assess human reaction, smiles, that sort of thing. It is absolutely incredible. The level of mental health destruction and degradation in this country and around the world knows no peer. We are seeing levels and shades and colors of crazy we never even thought imagined. And what is happening right now, not only to children, but we have unleashed the Kraken. I sound like Sidney Powell. We have a demented world of human trafficking, child predation, the likes of which no one has ever seen. Let me also say something too, and I must say this to you. Please get this right. The reason why people are involved in sex trafficking and slavery is because of the money. Let me say this again. Let me clear this up for you. The reason why people go through such great pains, if you look at The Sound of Freedom, which I cannot emphasize and encourage you to see enough, but the bases, the origins of this, was not pedophilia. This word just consumes people, pedophiles. These are traffickers. These are criminals. Do you think a rapist is a heterosexual? Do you think a slave master was a racist? What are these terms? It's about money. It's about commerce. Now, the people who frequent this, not only are the pedophiles and the phoebophiles and hebephiles and chronophiles, and occasionally the gerontophile, which nobody talks about. Sounds like Jurassic Park, doesn't it? But so let's just get this straight. We're not talking about minor attracted persons. We're not talking about that. That's quaint. And let me also say something which nobody wants to address. Again, my opinion only. I don't care what turns you on. I don't care if you think squatting over a cactus is fun for a weekend. It doesn't matter to me. I don't care if small animals entice you, of going to a petting zoo, if you want to dress up like an otter or a wombat, I don't care. It's when you take that ideation and that particular predilection towards this particular behavior and you apply it to children. That's when I get upset. I don't care why. And the reason why kids are being, the reason why there's labor trafficking and human trafficking, the predation, the absolute destruction of of human lives by picking kids up. And by the way, online as well, not just the guy with the white van, not just somebody who grabs somebody and takes them to a foreign country, but the reason is because of the untold, the billions and billions of dollars. Let me get really straight with you. Let me see if I can clarify this. I don't think I have to, but I'm going to do it just in case I have to. If you and I were going to sell it, let's say Big Al and I, Alex, we were going to become cocaine traffickers. We've got to go to Colombia or someplace. We got to grow this stuff. We got to get the locals to pick them and then haul them up into some mountain processing unit and grab the chemicals and step on it and make it into a brick and then transport that on a mule or to someplace else so it can be then transported. We got to pay off all the federales and, oh, we got to go through this stuff. And then we have to transport it and risk life in prison and fellow traffickers. And it's horrible. We then sell it, we make our money, and we have to start all over again. But with a child, I hate to be so cruel, but understand the mechanics of this and the economics. With one child, it sky's the limit. The only thing that limits the amount of money that we can extract by abusing and exploiting this child is the physical wherewithal. That's it. And I'm going to leave it at that. That's it. And let me also say something to you. And you're going to, and when I tell people this, people say, oh, this is a conspiracy theory. And I love that word. Who's conspiring? People use the word conspiracy theory as a synonym for crazy. That's not what a conspiracy is. Conspiracy is an illegal confederation from the Latin conspirare, you know, to breathe with two people. But after they get done with just destroying a child, don't think that organ procurement is out of the question too. This is how horrible it is. And what is it about? It's about money. It's about profit, untold profit. That's what this is about. That's what motivates the traffickers and the coyotes and others. And this president, this enfeebled, wizened coot, this dotard, this man hobbled by decrepitude, and with that purulent, fungating, sebaceous cyst of a human, that waste of flesh hunter, together, they have collectively, well, Joe in particular, have been responsible, along with his co-defendant, Mayorkas, in opening up the border, of destroying the sovereignty of my beloved republic, and making this basically an open-air market for the systematic predation and trafficking in children. That's what's going on here. It's not pedophilia. I don't know. It's like when people get on a word. Have you noticed how a while back, the term "you're welcome," that used to accompany thank you, you're welcome. Then it became no problem, no problem. Then it became no worries. Who's worrying? Who's worrying? Well, just because a phrase becomes used, just like awesome and hysterical and all that, hilarious, excuse me. The same thing goes for this. And if I could tell you the number of these morons, these mental midgets, the people who have the mental acumen of a thimble, somewhere between a speed bump and a soap dish, who all of a sudden discovered the word pedophile, and that's it. Every YouTube channel, every blog, every post is replete. That's certainly a part of it, but you're missing the point. Why? Because they're glomming onto this subject because they think it's the issue du jour. Okay? But it's more complicated than that. Believe me when I tell you this. It is more complicated than that. All right, my friends, this is Lionel sitting in for Lynn Shaw and Lynn's Warriors. I will be here with you. Again, remember, this is my opinion. Do not hold anybody responsible for my particular thoughts, ideations, right, wrong, or otherwise. Coming up, I'm going to be talking to Dr. Kelly Victory in one of the most profoundly fascinating conversations that we will ever have. This is Lynn's Warriors right here on Global Today's News Talk TNT Radio.
Jeremy Nell on TNT Radio.
Congratulations on your wife having a baby.
Thank you.
Does the doctor know which gender it is, or are you going to wait until your baby turns 11?
We're letting the decide for the self.
It's ridiculous, isn't it?
It's absolutely upside down, yeah. I just try and switch off myself these days.
I just can't wrap my head around where all this stuff is coming from. I don't remember any of this being a thing in the 90s, do you?
Maybe on Jerry Springer now and then, but that was about it, really.
Oh, I miss the days of Jerry. Jerry.
He was great. We need his final thoughts.
I love how he would create this intense argument and then basically, like, here's a knife, do something with it.
yeah.
Jeremy Nell and Germ Warfare on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
When you can point me to an industry, to a platform that reaches 250 million people a month, virtually 9 out of 10 Americans, that's real. That's substantive. That's important. And that reach and that touch point and that daily reinforcement, it's an amazing place to be able to communicate messages. That's massive.
To find out more, go to tntradio.live. You're listening to Lynn's Warriors with Lynn Shaw on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Alrighty, this is Lionel sitting in for Lynn Shaw and Lynn's Warriors right here on News Talk, TNT Radio. I am so honored. I am elated. I am beside myself. I am apoplectic. I am horripilating. I am rubescent in bringing to the microphone our next guest, Dr. Kelly Victory. Is that a beautiful name or what? Dr. Kelly Victory joins us right now. Let me give you an idea of this woman's, the bona fide, so to speak, the curriculum vitae. She's a board-certified trauma and emergency specialist with over 30 years of clinical experience. She served as a CMO for Whole Health Management, delivering on-site healthcare services for Fortune 500 companies. She holds a BS from Duke University and her MD from the University of North Carolina. Political correctness is ruining us. Stop big government. The virus is real. The statistics are not facts, not fear. Look at her Twitter account, Dr. Kelly Victory on Twitter or X. I can't do that X thing. It's at Dr. Dr. Kelly Victory. Dr. Kelly Victory, welcome to Lynn's Warriors.
Hey, Lionel. Thanks very much for having me.
I am honored. And the fact that you work with one of my dear buddies, Dr. Drew, is just, to add, put that feather in your cap. Can I ask you very quickly, you being a physician, knowing something about this, do you not get fed up with all of these virus and vaccine experts overnight? You went to medical school, you studied, you read peer-reviewed studies. This is your life. And all of a sudden somebody says, well, I'm an mRNA expert and I know all about the jab and I know everything about, I know about masks. Doesn't that drive you nuts?
Well, I've said more than once during this pandemic, Lionel, that I really, truly hope that the next global crisis, whatever it is, involves something like international financial markets or commodities
yes.
pricing, something I know nothing about so that I can argue yes. incessantly with people who have a PhD
yes.
and have spent their entire lives studying these things. I'm going to weigh in and have tremendous opinions. When it comes to I'm not suggesting that somebody who's not a physician shouldn't have an opinion or thoughts or be able to understand the basics of the science. But what happened during this pandemic is you saw people like, you know, the women on The View and Anderson Cooper, who the day before couldn't pronounce the word hydroxychloroquine.
Yes.
Not only know of it, but are experts at it and know of its profound dangers and know that it couldn't possibly have an application here and on and on. We have people who are absolute armchair, you know, epidemiologists and infectious disease experts all of the sudden. And in the words of Mark Twain, it's not what you don't know that gets you in trouble. It's what you know for certain that ain't so. And that's the problem. These people think that they know something and it isn't so, but they are absolutely wedded to that belief.
Here. You know, it's funny. I'm a lawyer by profession, a former prosecutor, and I was mentioning that during the O.J. Simpson case, overnight, everybody became a blood splatter expert. They were asking me questions. Well, do you think that this is a here? And I remember one time somebody asked me, I was doing a mornings on WABC here in New York, and they said, let me ask you a question. Let's go to Sal. He lays tile, which is fine. Nothing wrong with that. But all of a sudden, he's a Henry Lee, and he says, let me ask you a question, huh? Did you ever wonder why there wasn't more blood in the Bronco? And I said, why was there any blood in the Bronco? Who the hell are you? Why are you calling me? All right, let me stop for just a second. Can we talk about a little bit, especially as to children? I don't want to go through this, the ups and downs, but in terms of what kids went through, Dr. Kelly Vittori, give us an overview about some of the psychic trauma that kids experienced during COVID.
Well, start with this, Lionel. We knew from really the very, very beginning, within the first couple of weeks of the so-called pandemic in early 2020, that children, fortunately, were at an extraordinarily low risk from the virus. It was very clear from the very beginning that this was not an illness that affected all people the same, and that it was largely the elderly and those people with well-known comorbidities, people who were pretty darn sick already. And we knew, when I say young people, I mean people really under the age of 30, that they were at such a de minimis risk from this virus, fundamentally to be indistinguishable from zero. In other words, they had no risk at all. Not to say that they couldn't contract the virus, but that they just didn't get significantly ill with it. And they sure as heck weren't getting hospitalized or dying. Today, as of this date, there are no children who died of COVID who were not significantly ill. And I mean with end-stage cancers and very brittle diabetes and those sorts of things. So we knew that kids weren't at risk from it. Yet despite that, we subjected them to the most draconian of the mitigation schemes, everything from masking to this absolutely made-up construct of social distancing, the idea that you would have any impact on a respiratory virus by standing 6 feet away from somebody is absolutely preposterous.
Hang on a second. Don't you remember? I'm not sure where you are, but did you remember being in a store where they actually had a lane where if you were going down an aisle with your basket, you had to go in one particular direction because if two people crossed, COVID knew to jump from one lane to the other. COVID would not bother you if you were in a store moving in one particular direction. But if you passed, then COVID would jump from human to human. This was actually, I saw this and people believed it.
You could not make a Saturday Night Live skit that was funnier. I mean, we had little dots on the floor. I travel every week and I traveled every single week by air during the pandemic. There would be dots on the floor as you'd line up, queue up to get on the plane. Then you get on the plane and sit 2 inches from the person next to you for the next 2.5 hours. And then you'd have to stand back on your dot to deplane. I mean, it was the level of stupidity. And I'm laughing about it only because I'm hoping that perhaps people can somehow now that they're beyond perhaps the fear and the fog of war, that they can look back and make fun of themselves if you were one of the morons who actually bought into this. Because it was
stupid. Let me ask you a question. I'm sorry.
Stupid. Go ahead.
Let me ask you a question. I I'm sorry, but I have to do this. A friend of mine who wears a mask still, and you've seen people driving around cars by themselves wearing a mask, which is, to me, there's got to be some part of the brain that misfires. But a friend of mine was wearing a mask. I said, hey, I said, you smell that fire? He goes, yeah. I said, well, if you can smell it, your mask doesn't work. You don't think a little virus can get through this? What do people think masks were? And when you made little kids put things on their faces, which they don't like anyway, what precisely did they think this mask was stopping, especially designer and cloth masks, very porous? I don't want to spend the rest of the day talking about masks, but this is indicia of our collective insanity.
Correct. It became a talisman, really. It became a symbol of, it was the greatest virtue signaling symbol. It became a marker that I am a good person. I am a caring person. I wear a mask because I care about others. I am selfless. That's really what it's. And I suggested to people, I said, you would do far more to simply, you know, string some cloves of garlic and wear it around your neck, you know, to ward off the evils, because it's doing more than that mask. In fact, my alma mater, Duke University, did a really good study showing that cloth masks and certainly things like bandanas actually made things worse. When you cough or sneeze into that cloth, the velocity that a fluid droplet hits the cloth actually causes it to break into many, many microparticles, and the virus actually spreads further. So cloth masks were actually worse than no mask at all. But back to your question about kids, is that we took a group of people, and I will, you know, call them grossly, you know, children, people under the age of 18, say, and we subjected them to these things like masking and social distancing and the lockdown, which included the school closures, and exacted a tremendous toll on them, not just physically. And there was that, when you get kids can't run and play and go outdoors, there's a huge thing. But the psychological impact was overwhelming. We, at the height of the pandemic, had upwards sometimes of 30-35% of kids reporting suicidal ideation. They were so depressed, they thought they would kill themselves. We have a huge, an entire group of kids who didn't graduate from high school or college and won't go back because they were robbed of their junior and senior year, and they made a decision instead to enter the workforce and just not go back. We have an entire generation of kids who were toddlers at the time who have not learned to speak appropriately, because babies, and many people don't understand this, little babies learn to speak far more by mimicking mouth movements than by what they hear. And when they cannot see the mouths moving of the adults who are speaking around them, they don't learn to speak. And the CDC was very, very aware of this, and the American Academy of Pediatrics was aware of it, but rather than acknowledging it, they went and they surreptitiously changed the guidelines, the milestones for kids, and decreased the number of words that children are expected to know by 24 months. They cut it almost in half and simply said, oh, we'll just change the milestone, because otherwise they would have an entire generation of kids who wouldn't meet the developmental milestone. Oh, I mean, these are things
changing obesity, and yeah, BMIs all of a sudden is like, I don't want to fat shame. So, you know, weighing 240 at the age of 10. Yeah, and that's good. And let me ask you this question. Yeah. And by the way, Dr. Kelly Victory, at Dr. Kelly Victory on Twitter, not X. Whenever somebody dies, Tony Bennett, Sinead O'Connor, doesn't matter. They go, I wonder if they took the vaccine. Wonder if they took the booster. Now, when kids hear this, they go, someone that died. There you go. But he took the vaccine 2 years ago. Doesn't matter. Takes a long time. And then we take a kid to the doctor, and there is a real, let's say, a non-vaccine medication that has to be delivered IM or something. What is that child going to think when you have been putting together and causally connecting doctors, injections, and death? How do you think they're going to be able to differentiate between vaccine versus something which is a palliative or a antibiotic or whatever? I mean, where these kids are going to be more of a basket case than they already are now.
Well, suffice to say, Lionel, there's no question in my mind that we have undermined the confidence of the entire population, children as well as adults, in the healthcare system, in physicians, certainly in public health. They did such an abysmal job of communicating during the pandemic. You know, masks were good, masks were bad, masks should only be worn by healthcare people. You know, we changed the guidelines constantly after decades of telling people that the best thing they can do is get daily exercise, get outside, how important it is to get together with family and friends during a pandemic. pandemic, we say stay indoors, don't go to the community swimming pool, close the fitness center, don't go to the beach, don't get together with family and friends. That's very, very dangerous. You know, don't get near people. In fact, don't even look at people. You know, there were times when you had kids yelling, you know, 6 feet distance, 6 feet, you know, yes. shrieking. And terrified when somebody would come near them. I had a couple of episodes when I was on an airplane when there was a very, very fussy toddler or baby sitting a row behind me or across from me. And all I had to do was pull my mask off and smile at that baby, and they would stop crying. And it was 50-50 whether the mother would be, you know, always screeching, put your mask on. And I'm thinking, look at your kid and smile, lady. You know, he will stop crying. These are kids, we have terrorized them. And honestly, I was a psychologist before I was a physician. And I will tell you, it will be decades, and I mean that, decades, before we truly understand the profound impact that this PSYOP had on the entire society and certainly on children. Who knows what is going to happen to these kids who spent 3 years growing up like this.
Did you say PSYOP? Did I hear correctly? Why, you're not a conspiracy theorist, are you? Tell me no. Do you, are you saying that perhaps some of this, some of the, that there might have been actual ideations of weird mechanistic actual, you know, vectoring of moods and fear? Do you think that maybe this might have been a beta test or some kind of a weird, a kind of a dress rehearsal for like a version of the Milgram test or the prison experiment test? Because this to me was, you know, there were more shrinks and behaviorists sitting down there with their notepads, noticing how we can turn on each other, how we can scare people, what works, the frequency of information to frighten and the like. Because I think this was, you know, I've always been fascinated. How did anti-Semitism spread? How did genocide spread? How did, you know, Gustave Le Bon and crowd theories, how did this work to make seemingly normal and rational people lose their minds? Well, that ended when COVID hit. And I said, I understand now.
No, exactly. This goes by a very, very well documented playbook, Lionel. I mean, it's the same protocol each time. You take a foe, you create a foe. In the case during Nazi Germany, it was the Jews. They're the foe. You turn everybody against that foe, and you make everybody believe that it is that foe that is responsible for all the ills, everything they are suffering from. In this case, it was a microscopic virus. We all need to turn against the foe. And anybody who wants to beat the foe must do these things where, you know, insert here, wear a mask, stand 6 feet apart, get vaccinated, participate in the lockdown, whatever it is. And if people around you aren't doing that, they are also the enemy. You know, they are the people who are protecting the foe. And so it turns brother against brother, you know, and we end up with a whole group of brown shirts. And you heard the same thing that happened during other times, other genocides, you know, when the government is saying, you know, turn in your neighbor. If you see them gathering for that 4th of July barbecue, call this number. And honestly, it's an incredibly divisive thing. We failed the experiment miserably. We gave them, I mean, I have never in my life could have imagined that people would so readily hand over their civil liberties as was done during this pandemic. People willingly gave up their livelihoods, gave up, you know, their ability to travel. And I have likened it to when you take a baby and you take a newborn baby and you wrap it in swaddling, it loses control of its own arms and legs. But even though it loses that autonomy, it feels more safe and secure. And what happened during this pandemic is a vast majority, tragically, of the population looked at these things like swaddling. They gave up their own autonomy, but they felt safe and secure in the chrysalis of the warm embrace of the government who's here to help. And once you give up those autonomies, you don't get them back. So unfortunately, things like the mask and the little sani wipe that the stewardess hands you when you get on the plane, and the little dots on the floor, and the plexiglass at the bank, and all of these things became like swaddling. And there is a group of people out there who don't feel safe and secure without them. And they will never give up those things. They will be bathing in Purell in perpetuity because they got some sense of safety and security. And I'm here to tell you as a physician, not only, security and safety, in the words of Helen Keller, is an illusion. It isn't, you really aren't safe and secure. And what you've done is give up your ability to live your life. You are not living anymore.
Yes. We're talking to Dr. Kelly Victory at Dr. Kelly Victory. I come from a generation, I'm going to be 65, I'm very proud to say, and I was a kid of the 60s. And we had no helmets. We drank from hoses. We stayed out until it was dark. Serial killing really wasn't that big of a deal. We would, our fun games at recess was games called Kill the Man, where we would just jump on top of each other. We had BB guns. There was no tree allergies, no bean or peanut allergies. Nobody, nothing. We didn't have autism that we knew of. Everybody was, it just was a different world. And what people used to always say was, well, that's what's the problem with you kids. You feel fearless. And remember that. You feel fearless. Why did he fall out of a tree? Because he feels fearless. Well, cut to today. Goodbye, feeling of fearless. Now it's and you mentioned the faux syndrome. An artificial faux is called fofo, if you think about it, to be French. But right now we have kids who are petrified of everything, scared. And with more things, because remember, once this is done, remember, HPV is going to come back up. They're going to talk about Gardasil again. I know kids who are getting HPV vaccines, and they're not even in kindergarten. Human papilloma, condyloma acuminata. What is happening? We're going to have these generations of timorous, scared, peanut allergied, strange kids who make no eye contact, can't shake your hand, and can't sign their name. Am I overreacting?
No, I don't think you are. I'm actually writing a book on the topic that we are trying to de-risk life. And you can't do it. And all you do is end up with a weak, weak society incapable of dealing with adversity. You know, it started with the everybody gets a trophy, because God forbid somebody should be disappointed and fail to make the team. Everybody passes because God forbid somebody should actually have a repercussion for the fact that they didn't study or weren't prepared. We don't let kids get turned down or rejected on dates. So we go instead as groups to the prom. We don't do the one-on-one dating anymore. And on and on and on. We've tried to make life devoid of any ill feeling. And we've furthermore told kids that if you do feel badly, if you feel offended, if you're disappointed, if you feel rejected, then you have a beef. Then you can, sue somebody, or that somebody has let you down, and we will quickly come in and fix that, because little Johnny, you should never, ever feel bad or disappointed or rejected or subjected to fail, a sense of failure. That's wrong, because that's what creates a strong society. That's what allows people and motivates people to work harder, to do better, to try more. And we are on a very, very bad slope here. With regard to these, the vaccines you're talking about, I have been pro-vaccine in the past. I think we've got to take a very critical look at what we are doing here. When you and I were growing up, we're nearly the same vintage. We certainly were subjected to the same vaccine schedule. And until the 1980s, the early 80s, the number of vaccines that were on the schedule that you and I would have gotten is somewhere between 6 and 8 vaccines. By 1983, that number was up to 32 vaccines.
Wow.
It is now up to 74. It's now 74 vaccines. We have newborn babies getting vaccinated for hepatitis B.
Oh,
hepatitis B is largely a sexually transmitted disease. Why are we vaccinating newborns for a sexually transmitted disease? And again, this doesn't make me quote anti-vaccine. It makes me pro-safety, pro-common sense. And when you look at the trajectory of things like autism, like allergies, and when I say allergies, it includes everything from asthma to Crohn's disease, skin conditions, and everything in between, you know, and certainly all of these allergies, we have to say something has changed, and that something is very likely environmental. And if we don't consider vaccines as possibly part of that insult, then we're being remiss. And we need to do a deep dive analysis and think what part of this is actually for the good of mankind and what part is just feeding, and I mean feeding economically, financially, the, you know, medical complex and the pharmaceutical complex that is making zillions of dollars off of the process.
Dr. Kelly Victory, final question. When would you recommend, and do you know any of your fellow colleagues and the like, who are involved in mastectomies and penectomies and orchiectomies and gender reassignment and genital mutilation on children who don't even know their favorite color? At what age do you recommend or endorse sexual mutilation for a child?
Well, I will tell you, as I said, I was a psychologist before I was a physician, and regardless of what school of psychology you ascribe to, I don't care if it's Freud, Jung, Piaget, Skinner, Erickson, whoever it is, they all agree on one thing, which is that the human brain does not fully develop until well into the 20s, probably around the age of 25 or 26. Until that time, cognition and emotion is still very, very labile. For some people, it goes well into the 40s. There are people who, so the idea that we are allowing people to make decisions of this sort as children is absolutely, you know, it is not scientifically based. It's immoral. It's unethical. And I think it really constitutes malpractice. There is a reason and a good reason why we don't allow children to do things like vote, you know, buy a firearm, get married, smoke cigarettes, get a tattoo. You cannot rent a car in the United States until you're 26 because you're still considered to be impetuous. Okay. So the idea that, you know, we adolescence in particular is a time that is known. It is time that is known as accepted universally as a time of impulsivity, of fickleness. Kids can't decide what color hair they want from one day to the next during adolescence. It's supposed to be a time when you try on lots of different identities, whether, you know, one day you're a vegan, the next day you're eating nothing but steak. One day you're a Quaker, then you're an atheist, then you're a Buddhist. It's part and parcel of being an adolescent. Our job as adults, and certainly as healthcare professionals, is to make sure that the identities they try on are harmless, that they don't hurt themselves or do something from which they cannot retreat when they have a different idea 15 minutes later. So dye your hair purple, that's okay, because I know that's not something that's permanent. Cut your genitals off? Have you lost your mind? This is something we cannot allow to happen. It's wrong, and we are seeing really significant fallout from this.
Dr. Kelly Victory, it has been indeed a pleasure speaking with you. At Dr. Kelly Victory on Twitter, now known as X, and also your website is earlycovidcare.org. Dr. Kelly Victory, thank you so much for being on Lynn's Warriors. It was indeed a pleasure.
Thank you for having me, Lionel.
Coming up, more with me and you on Lynn's Warriors. And let me remind you right now, you're listening very carefully. I hope you're listening assiduously to Global Today's News Talk, a TNT Radio.
With his expert analysis and opinion, this is TNT Radio's Timothy Shea.
Sometimes there is justice in our justice system. Not a lot, mind you, but enough to keep us having at least a little bit of faith in the system. In Delaware District Court today, Judge Mary Ellen Noriega pressed the prosecutors on what was and was not covered by Hunter's sweetheart plea deal. After being somewhat evasive, the prosecutors admitted that Hunter was still the subject of an active FBI investigation. When pressed whether the investigation would include FARA charges, failure to register as a foreign agent, under the Foreign Agent Registration Act, the assistant U.S. attorney said, well, yes, it would. And at that point, Judge Noriega turned to the defense and said, do we still have a deal then? At which point, Hunter's lawyers said no, there was no plea agreement. And to cap it all off, Judge Noriega then ordered Hunter to get a job and stay clean. His conditions of release are that he must actively seek employment and not use drugs in order to stay out of federal custody. Like I said, sometimes there is a little bit of justice in our two-tier system of justice. From MAGAInstitute.com, this is Timothy Shea for TNT Radio.
When the forgotten poor are in need of healing, they wait for a ship unlike any other. Mercy Ships, a floating hospital staffed by volunteers, heroes of mercy who donate their time to save lives.
Every human has the right to have a place at the table of the human race.
If you could just see the smiles that you get when lives have been changed, then it would make it all worth it.
To learn more about Heroes of Mercy, go to mercyships.org.
This is Lynn's Warriors with Lynn Shaw on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
All righty, Lionel sitting in for Lynn Shaw and Lynn's Warriors, and you're listening to today's News Talk, TNT Radio, thanks to Dr. Kelly Victory. Lynn Shaw will be back next week for Lynn's Warriors. Again, I'm sitting in while she was on assignment. Please do not hold anything that I say in any way against anyone. These are my opinions, because basically, I hate everyone. I hate everybody who speaks, and everybody's wrong. Starting with that premise, you won't be ever disappointed. If I ever, I never thought I would ever live to be in an age where I'm actually advocating against children being castrated and mastectomied and penectomied by virtue of some whim, and this is actually being promoted. Now, if you think this is left, if you think this is, do you think Democrats like this? No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. Democrats don't do this. So the question is, well, who's for this exactly? We don't know. Let me tell you what I think is going to be very, very instrumental, and I hope it catches on. And that's Bobby Kennedy. And the reason why is, very frankly, he can destroy what appears to be the Democratic Party. And by the way, Democrats, when I grew up in my era, you know, during the 60s, when we were into, you know, the war, we had great music. We weren't into the war, but against the Vietnam War, Democrats led the way. They were against the war. They were for civil rights and for women and for gays and for, it made sense. It made complete sense. Then later on, these people called libertarians came along. I don't know what they're about. I have no idea. They said a libertarian is a Republican who wants to smoke dope. They believe that people should be able to have sex with whomever they want. Okay, fine. Not exactly going out on a limb, but that was the libertarians. But very, something very interesting happened right around the 70s and 80s. The Dixiecrats were finding themselves completely abandoned by the Democrats. So they hooked up with the Republicans. And there's always been this shape-shifting about whether the moral majority is included in this. Let me just stop you right there. Do yourself a favor and try something this week. Just forget using the word Republican or Democrat. Just don't use it anymore. It's like people who get hung up on, now, am I a pescatarian? Am I a flexitarian? Am I a vegetarian? Would I be a vegan? Would I be plant-based? Would I be ovo-lacto? Who cares? Why do you say this? You are being promoted or being subjected to some of the biggest frauds ever. And you can see them all the time on Fox News. Whatever happened to that network? Whatever happened? I mean, did you happen to see Hannity interview, if you can call it that, Bobby Kennedy? That was interview malpractice. It was horrid. It was beyond horrid. It was just, what is this? Roger Ailes is rolling over in his grave. So right now we have kids walking around. And I can't say this enough. Now, by the way, you must understand this. And I'm sure you know this too. When you get to a certain age in life, you always look at kids, and then kids look at you. They look at you as some old fart, and you look at them as some young pup, and then everybody's looking at somebody else, forgetting that we're all on this conveyor belt, and that at one particular point, you were a kid, and they will be your age, and vice versa. But there's something that's happening right now, and I see it on a regular basis. I see this timidity, this timorousness, this inability to make eye contact, wishy-washy dish rag handshakes, no ability to write, think, read, reason, a lack of dating and wanting to drive and go out. And I mean, it is frightening. And what happens is, if you can continue to make people like this generation followed by the next generation, you will end up having a group of people who are basically voluntarily imprisoned in a world by their own delight. Let me just say something quickly about being kids. I was lucky enough to live in an era where we were dangerous and reckless. And how I'm alive today is, I will never understand. I grew up in the state of Florida, in the South, or Florida, as I call it, F-L-A-W-D-A. It was very, very redneck, very, very wild. And we had access to some of the greatest fireworks of all time. I don't mean fireworks. I mean military grade projectiles, Roman candles that would send 4,000, 5,000 degree balls of phosphorus we would shoot at each other. And our parents would say, you're going to lose an eye, you're going to break a neck. Nobody lost an eye, nobody broke a neck, nobody ever hurt. If you broke a leg, so what? You had a cast and your friend signed it. And I can't say that enough. There was something really fun about that. It was a sense of being a kid. And we rode bikes and we talked to each other and we would negotiate stuff and we would play hide and go seek. And we would actually confabulate, diviate, communicate. It was this thing that we did. We talked to each other. Now, listen, I think devices are terrific. I think the internet's great. I couldn't imagine living without it. But let me tell you something. There is a word that I don't want to say. It's a two-part word, and the second part ends in up. And these kids are so, you know what, up. It's off the scale. And let me just tell you something. You can call it what you want. You can diagnose it all you want. But these kids are going to be future serial killers. And they are so frightened. And one of the reasons why, and listen, parents, one of the reasons why they might be frightened is you keep scaring them. And you keep talking constantly about how everybody's dropping dead because of vaccines. Now, listen, I am not in any position to rule that out completely. But there's this ghoulish pile on. People almost wring their hands like, ah, ha, did you hear who dropped dead? Another athlete. I wonder why that was. People are actually almost happy about this. Are you sure that is the etiology, the teleology, the causa mortis, as it were? Do you believe that? Well, if you listen to certain aspects of talk and streaming, that's all people talk about. And I don't understand it. So let's just do something. Put things in perspective. My favorite also is when people who all of a sudden go crazy about vaccines and mRNA, and I look at them and they're 100 pounds overweight, they're vaping, and they've got a cholesterol of 900. That doesn't bother them. That doesn't bother them in the least. No problem with that. They're worried about, you know, I'm not going to eat bugs. I'm not going to eat lab-made food. Okay, that's terrific. But meanwhile, they're eating bacon with nitrates. And they've got fatty liver deposits. And they're gonna have a massive MI by the time they're 50. That doesn't bother them. They're not, that's okay. That's cool. Or they smoke weed and they think somehow this is not going to hurt you. Or they vape. Have you heard of vape tongue? Popcorn lung? No. That's okay. That's different. That's cool. But when it comes to, you know, it's just this weird kind of a societal what's in and what's not. If you listen long enough to anybody, especially on any kind of streaming, You've got people who are now into seed oils. Have you heard this? The anti-seed oil. They're rabid against seed oils. Then you have people who are now into the carnivore diet. And then there was the keto diet. And then there was the paleo diet. And then there are people who eat raw offal and organ meat. I'm thinking, what is happening here? But that's okay. That's good. Now, let me just say something in conclusion before we run out of time. Make sure you know what you're talking about. Always read. Always make sure you're able to really identify the particular issue. I'm going to say this one thing about vaccines. Most people are not against the notion of immunology. Most people are not against the idea of Pasteur, about the vectors involved in immunization, okay? It does work. Now, certain ones might not be rather efficacious. Certain ones might not be tested. I believe in medicine. I don't believe in all medicine. I believe in hypodermic syringes. I just don't put anything in it. That's all. It's just a matter of putting things into perspective. And also, above all, think. Think very carefully. Well, let me do this. Let me just say something right now. I've been in talk radio a long time. And the people you never thank enough are the engineers and the board operators like Alex. People chained against their will, working on weekends, in the middle of the night, making sure the product gets up. So this is to you, Big Al. To you and your compatriots, thank you. And thank you for listening. Lynn Shaw will be back next week for Lynn's Warriors. Thank you. Thank you very much. It is indeed a pleasure. I want to thank the great folks at Today's News Talk TNT Radio. It was indeed an honor. And let me just say to you, always think, always use your sense of logic and critically think. Don't go along with the crowd. Remember, because if too many people agree with you, something's wrong.